I just got to try something. I just had to know. Very good, Elle. I thank you for your creativity that you bring in here every week for our children and the message that goes behind that. I'm going to encourage you to turn in your Bible this morning to the book of Job. And we're going to begin chapter 1. If you notice, we were in Job last week. We're going to be in Job today. And we're going to be in Job next week as well. He is a great example to us in this series of being spiritually healthy. And so I'm also going to reference back to the book Ecclesiastes, which is just a couple books back. Sits between Proverbs and Isaiah. And then we're going to go to John in the New Testament, chapter 3. And so this morning, notice that this is going to be a two-part series within the series again. And so it's entitled, Surrendering to Your Limits, How to Grieve God's Way. And I just want you to know, I'm just going to put a disclaimer out there this morning that these couple next messages will be fairly deep. You're going to have to track with me close to stay with me, because if you don't, you're probably going to get lost and you think, boy, I didn't get much out of that today. All right? So these are going to challenge you. They're going to look inside your life. So I need you to really pay attention here this next few weeks. And I know you guys do every Sunday. But just know that hopefully you can track with me. And I might stop once in a while and say, are you picking up what I'm laying down? And you say no, then let me know. And we'll do some adjusting. So I want you guys to make sure you get this as I lay this out here again today. So let's begin reading the Word of God. Follow along with me. Now notice that last week we read about what happened to Job, his trials. He lost his children. He lost all his livestock. And then he's stricken with illness, a sores all over his body. And so now we're going to learn, okay, well, how did he react to all that? What went on? And so we're going to look at a little bit this week of how he grieved. And you're going to learn what does grieving look like. But then next week I'm going to give it more depth of what should godly grieving look like. Because every one of us grieve through different kinds of things in our life. And I'm going to also talk to you this morning about what is loss. We face loss every day in our lives, whether you realize it or not. And so that's part of the world that we live in. And so you're going to get to learn that this morning. Follow along with me as we read, beginning chapter 1, verse 20. So at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And then jump with me to chapter 2, verse 11. When Job's three friends, Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, the Naamathite, heard about all the troubles that had come upon him, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with him and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and 7 nights. No one said a word to him because they saw how great his suffering was. And then go to the book of Ecclesiastes with me. About page 1038, chapter 3, just a couple verses. This is a very common set of verses that I've read at funerals. And you guys have heard this. It's a very common, popular set of verses. So verses 1 and 2, and then verse 4, chapter 3. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. Verse 4. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And then go with me to the book of John. New Testament reading today. All right, so this is very fitting because I'm going to talk about John the Baptist here this morning. And we're in the Lenten season, and as we approach Easter and so on, you know that John was in the desert and he's preparing the way for the Lord. And so John is baptizing people. Jesus is baptizing people. And listen to what is going on here in the background. So there's some disciples of John that come to him, and they raise some questions. And notice what's going on here. And just listen to how John reacts There's going to be more about this next week, about how John reacts to the situation. His disciples, they're a little jealous. Listen to what goes on. Verse 22 through 27. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them, and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were coming and being baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he's baptizing and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven." All right? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your spoken word this morning that we could read from your Bible, your scripture, the truth, that we can learn and grow from it in our lives. Lord, may you bring that word to life today through my message, and I pray that you fill me with that same spirit that will fill your people that have gathered here today, whether in this house or at home, listening to your word. Lord, may you open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to receive it, to grow in their faith, to be challenged in their walk with you. Lord, bless this message. In Jesus I pray, amen. If you've been following the news lately, how many of you heard of the stock GameStop? Anybody heard about that? Yes. You kind of know what was going on there. Many of you might have heard about this in the news. So pay attention to what I'm going to talk to you about here this morning. Aaron and I, we opened up an E-Trade account a couple years ago, and we like to just monkey around with some things. And Aaron decided that we would buy some GameStop several weeks ago. And so he likes to watch this stuff, and me and him have an account together. And so we like to just mess around with stuff. And so we bought one share. And we are traveling out on our way to Colorado to see Quinn for the weekend, the end of January. And Quinn, or Aaron says to me, "Dad, I think we should buy maybe one or two more. I think it's going to go higher." And he said, "Okay, we can do that." So he starts getting on his phone, and he's trying to purchase it, and he's dead. "My app doesn't work. They won't let me do anything." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He says, "I don't know, but I'm frustrated." And here's the point. You see, at that point, you knew in the news that they pretty much stopped all trading on this stock. The common investor was not allowed to purchase these things, or even to sell your stock. It's like we were locked out. And you know how frustrating that was for us to be limited? It was hard. It was difficult. And so what I want you to understand, that when you go through life, there are all kinds of limits that you and I will face every day. You might not even recognize some of the limits that you will encounter in your life. But do you also realize that limits are behind every loss that you have? Every loss, you'll find that you're limited in some way. But most of these limits are placed there by God. They're good things. They keep us humble. They keep us grounded. They're to protect us in those times. But think about the limits that you have in your life. You and I cannot do everything that we want to do in life. In fact, limits produce many types of death on a daily basis. And I'm not going to be a Debbie Downer to you here this morning, but I want you to think about the limits that you see on a daily basis and the losses that you encounter in your life. Often we think of death as being the greatest loss. A lot of us probably went there. We think about our loved ones and maybe those that have gone on before us already. But I want you to think about the death that you encounter every day through loss, through limits that you have placed on your life. But death comes in many forms. And we grieve those losses on a daily basis. And how you handle that grief and how you process that grief is ever so important to your spiritual health. And so I'm going to unpack that for you this morning so you begin to recognize those things in your life. And so it's good for us to know that we are surrounded by limits and we are surrounded by loss every day. But we can work through them. The Lord will walk us through those things. We're going to learn what that looks like to be healthy, how we should process loss, and look for those things in our life. But for today's message, you're going to leave here knowing and recognizing those types of losses and maybe some unhealthiness that you might have in your life. So I might step on some of your toes this morning just a little bit. You might see some of those things and think, oh my, that's me. So go home today not being discouraged, but come back next week knowing that, hey, I'm going to learn how I need to deal with some of this stuff and what that looks like in my life and how to live healthy within those guidelines of what God wants us to live and how he wants us to live. And if you think about it, the story of Job, which we read about the last few weeks, it's the story of all of us. Job lost it all within a few days. But you and I, over a lifetime, we experience some of those same types of losses from day to day. Now you might be thinking, well, I haven't lost my children. Some of you have. Well, I haven't lost my business. Some of you have, haven't you? Well, I haven't lost my wealth. Some of you have. And so you grieve those types of losses in your life. Some of you have lost your health, right? Not everyone, but some of us have. And we grieve those types of things in our lives. And at some point, you and I will die. And we'll leave everything that we have behind. And we'll go to meet our Creator, the Lord in heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But the grief that you experience in those losses are no different than what Job experienced in that time frame of just a couple of days. Now, it packed up on him and he had to process all that. But guess what? If you don't process it in the right ways, it packs up on you too. It becomes heavy. It's hard to carry. And so God does not want us to carry those things in our life. He wants us to unpack those things, and he wants us to live free, especially in times of loss. And at some point, at one time or one point or another, you will experience catastrophic loss in your life. Death of a loved one, a cancer diagnosis, maybe diabetes, a loss of a child, loss of a job, a loss of a business, whatever it might be, a miscarriage, an affair, you grieve that loss. You have limits on your life. I want you to think about limits with me just for a minute this morning. You are limited by how much money you have. You can't buy and do everything in the world, can you? Some of us try to. We try to work that way. You are limited by your physical ability. Right? Now, the older you get, you realize the more limited you are. Would you agree with me there, some of you that are maybe just a little bit older than me? Yeah, so there we go. You start to realize that, you know, my body, when you're 20, you think you can do everything and anything. But then you get to be a little older, you realize, I'm limited. I can't do everything that I want to do or I thought I could do in my life. Your gifts limit you. Your personality limits you. You can't work 24/7, because you don't have the energy to do that. Some of you might try for a few days, but at some point, you need to sleep. You need rest. You need to eat to survive. And the list goes on and on and on in your life. Limits are given by God to keep you grounded and humble and to protect you in your life. But limits produce loss, because you can't dream or you can't do everything that you dream about in your life. I mean, how many of you have dreams that at some point you realize, I'm probably not going to succeed at that? Right? We've had that, correct? A goal that you maybe had in your life, you know, this is what I thought I was going to do, but this is the path God's got me on, and And I realize that that's probably not going to come to fruition in my lifetime. But limits produce loss, and losses produce grief. How many, are you still tracking with me yet so far? Yep. And if you're not, you would admit it anyway to me this morning, right? Yes. But I'm trying to get to the point where I want you to identify that in your common everyday life, that you grieve a lot of things that you don't even realize. They affect who you are as a person. That's what I'm trying to get at here this morning. And every time you experience some kind of a loss in your life, you're going to go through that grieving process. One of the biggest producers of loss, we think, is change. Because you're afraid of losing something that you know you have. And so most people will fight change because they're sure of what they got. But God, if he lets us sit in change, guess what happens? If you don't change anything, you get connected to things around you, and God has a word in the Bible that says, and calls them what, do you think? Because you start to rely upon them more than God. Idols. So God keeps you moving through life. Change is part of who he made you to be. See, some of us don't want to go there because in that change we grieve loss, and we don't like to grieve, and we don't know how to handle it properly in our lives. But here's some encouragement. One day, when we're in heaven, the limits will be off. Think about that for a moment. You can't even fathom that. There will be no limits in heaven. Dream as big as you want to. Do the things that you dreamed about here on earth in heaven. A little encouragement for you today so you don't get drowned in the losses that you may experience every day. Let me talk to you about Job some more. How many of you know Jeff Bezos? Yeah, what's Jeff? What's Jeff? What's he known for? Some of you young people know. Go ahead, say it. Amazon. Right? How wealthy is this guy? The wealthiest person in the world. Billions of dollars. All right? Job would have been the Jeff Bezos of his day. That's how wealthy Job was. Thousands of cattle. I got a list here, in fact. His wealth was staggering what he owned. 7,000 head of sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, and a numerous amount of employees that took care of his livestock and his land. He was the Jeff Bezos of his day. If Job were alive today, he would be on the front cover of Forbes magazine of the richest person in the world. That's Job. That's who we're talking about. A man of God. The Bible says in Job 1 verse 3, he was the greatest man among all the people of the East. He was a godly man. He feared God and he shunned evil, is what Scripture says. And yet Satan unleashed this mountain of terror on him, destroying his family and his livestock and taking away his health. Everything was gone. Amazingly, Job never sinned nor blamed God for any of it. In fact, he did just the opposite. In his loss, he worshiped. He said, praise God in the midst of all that. Now, some of you might be asking the question, how could he do it? And you're going to learn more about that next week. But how could he do it? I don't understand it. It was hard. It was difficult. But he grieved in a godly way that most of us don't understand or get because of the sinful world that you and I live in today. But he's a great example for us. Job was an innocent man. He was a sinner, but he was forgiven by God. So where's the love and the goodness of God that we think should follow good Christians, especially like Job? Why would God do this to faithful Job? Why would he allow this to happen? Why would he let Satan have his day with Job in his life? That question brings us to a question about our own lives. Here's my challenge for you today and the next few weeks. How might you and I respond in times a catastrophic loss in our lives? And I pray we don't have to ever go through what Job did. But some of us will over a lifetime. How are we supposed to grieve like Job? How do we deal with the pain we face in times of loss? We experience loss all the time in our lives. And you know what our culture does? And this is even true for the church that you and I live in today. In our culture, addiction is the most common way to deal with pain and loss. That's what we refer to. Now, most of you are thinking, well, I'm not on drugs and alcohol. There are so many other addictions that we face that you don't even realize. This is part of what I learned this past summer in my sabbatical, the things that we do in our lives. And I thought, you know, how, at the end of a hard day, one of the things I love to do is go home and eat a big bowl of ice cream. How many of you like to do that? Yeah. How many like to go home and eat a big bowl of ice cream, even if it's not a hard day? I like to do that too. But you see what I'm talking about? Addictions come in many forms, but you might not always realize what they look like. You're going to learn that here this morning. Cultures and traditions deal with loss in very different ways. And do you realize that unconsciously, we learn many defense maneuvers as we live life to protect ourselves from the bad stuff, from the grief and the loss that we experience? You unconsciously do things to protect yourself. You might not even realize it or know it. Others might see it, but you might not. You might possibly see some of it. Did you know that some of those that you've learned come from your family of origin? And we discussed family of origin a couple weeks back, and I said, the way that you grew up, the home that you're in, you were taught how to deal with loss and what that looked like and how to grieve and so on in your life. Some of that could have been healthy and you're blessed, and some of it could be some very poor, bad stuff that was not helpful to you in your life. So I have a list of traits, words, actions that we might use in our daily lives that I want to share with you this morning. And I'm going to pull it up here in this next slide. And it's a busy slide. And so I ask for your forgiveness. But I think you can see it. It's on your outline. You can read it. We're going to talk about some of these traits that come out in our lives. There we go. Common defenses that we use to grieve our losses. The first one is denial. Anybody ever denied anything? We refuse to acknowledge some painful event in our lives. So I got examples I'm going to use with this too this morning to help you understand just a little bit better. All right, now keep grief and loss in the back of your mind when you go through this as you hear this morning. If someone asked you how you were doing after you lost your job and you just responded flippantly, "I'm doing okay." But deep down inside, you're just destroyed. Denial. We minimize our losses. That's the second one. Oh, it's not that big a deal. Right? We make it appear less serious than what it actually is and how it's affecting our lives. We like to do that as well. So I have another example for you this morning. "Oh, my son or daughter's doing okay. They just drink once in a while." But in reality, they're drinking heavily, and you cover it up for them so as you don't have to deal with it. You ever covered for a sibling or a parent or a child, and you try to lessen it and minimize maybe what they're going through instead of being real and just saying, "You know what? It's a mess. I don't get it. I don't know what to do. I don't understand it. I need help." Instead, we minimize. Ever blame somebody else for a problem? Others? Most of us might do that from time to time. We deny our own responsibility of our behavior. And here's an example for you. "The reason my sister's so sick is because the hospital messed up all her medications." It's not because of her lifestyle or the way she took care of herself. It's the hospital's fault. They messed her up. How about blaming yourself? It's my fault. Mom doesn't care of me and she drinks all the time. It's because I'm not worth it. It's my fault that she drinks. And it could be Dad too. It's my fault Dad drinks because I'm not worth it. It's my fault. We blame ourselves for problems or loss that we go through. How about rationalizing? We offer excuses. We try to justify it. And we might even add an alibi to it to make it even sound better for ourselves. Oh, my situation isn't that bad compared to others and what they're going through. But you know what? When you find yourself at any kind of loss, it takes its toll on our lives. It takes its toll on our spiritual health. It takes its toll on your physical body as well. And you might not even realize that. Distracting. We change the subject to avoid threatening topics of hardship or loss. And some people might even try to spin it into the positive. And I'm not against spinning it into the positive. You know, they might say, well, look at the good things God has done. Well, that's a good thing, and that's positive, and that's great. And we can say that and look at that. But in reality, you're hiding behind what's happened because you don't want to deal with it in a good way. Some of us might even become hostile. Right, we get angry or irritable when people ask about our loss. We fire back, I don't want to talk about it in our lives. Still with me yet? Yeah? You know, at times we all do these things, and we're human. God's grace covers a lot of this, by the way, if not all of it. When we ask. But when we decide to grieve and deal with the losses in the wrong way, we become empty humans. And we become people with just painted smiley faces on ourselves. We are no longer authentic. We're fake people at that point. And I think there's a sermon a while back on being authentic, right? You remember that one maybe it's a month or so ago? We talked about being an authentic Christian and living an authentic life. You know, and this is part of going there in that authentic life. And so I think that when we become fake, and I think our churches maybe even get filled with fake Christians that put out fake news. Have you heard that before? Yeah, and the way that we talk and the things that we do in our lives. And if you and I are going to be spiritually healthy, we have to live authentic lives. So God calls us to face our pain head on and go through it. You know, I read a quote in Peter's book last week that said something like this. Most of us, when we get in the dark places of life, we try to chase the sunset, don't we? To keep up with the light. But he says, you know what Christians should do? You need to turn around and face the darkness and run to the sunrise. Quickest way to get there. God calls us to face our pain head on. Here's the best cultural example that I can give you that's happening in our area, even in Christian families today. And the pandemic, this COVID has really pushed this on and really kind of promoted this. And some of you have lost loved ones recently, and this is no ill effect on you because this is starting to happen before COVID even appeared. But here's one of the best cultural examples I can give you today that we try to avoid loss in the world you and I live in. And it's about grieving those loved ones that we have in our lives when they pass away. There is a trend today, and you kind of notice it, to move away from having funeral services. A lot of times people will just get cremated and they'll put them on a shelf and, okay, we're going to celebrate his life and we're going to do this. We'll just wait 3 months when it's convenient for us because I don't have time right now. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Or they have a funeral service and all that can be there is 10 people. Remember those days? Nobody else could come. Or today, you know, you get a family, and I'm not here to offend you if you lost someone, but this trend is picking up that we don't want to deal with our losses anymore, so let's don't do those types of things. So let me ask you a question. When you don't have a funeral and you don't have family visitation, and I realize in the midst of pandemic we're limited, but moving forward and this is over, I want you to think about some of those things. Who is the funeral service for? Those left behind. You might honor the one that passed away and celebrate their life and worship God in the midst of that, but it's for us left behind that we can properly grieve. See, Coulter says today that, well, if we just don't have the funeral service, we don't have to grieve, we don't have to go there. And let me say one thing about that. That is the worst thing that we could do as a culture. Because it'll come out in all kinds of crazy ways down the road. Because we didn't handle it in a godly way. That's my best example I can give you today. When you're no longer given the right to mourn, when you're no longer given the right to deal with your loss, it'll come out in all kinds of weird ways. Peter Scazzaro says this: if we don't allow God to work through those losses we experience in our lives, when we do not process before God the feelings that make us human, such as grief, fear, sadness, and anger, he uses a word on the bottom of the screen in the little red box, we begin to leak. You and I begin to leak. We leak out our emotions in unhealthy ways as we live life. And I think our churches, our culture, our communities are filled with leaking people. And you're going to get the definition of this just in a moment. And this is not how God intended it to be. In fact, the exact opposite. So let me show you what it looks like to leak. Most people, let's see, let me get on here. Here we go. Most people who fill our churches, notice I said most, are nice, respectable, loving people. Right? We're all that way. But for the majority of us, those feelings of grief that I just talked to you about, the way we process things, those difficult things in life, we like to stuff them down deep inside our lives, don't we? We don't want to deal with them most of the time because they're hard. They're emotional. And if we don't deal with them in the way Scripture tells us or teaches us to deal with loss, they start to leak out in our everyday lives. Most of the time they leak out in soft ways. You see that little screen? If you're in the very back, you probably can't read the words that are in that diagram. Can you see that diagram up there? Raise your hand if you can or can't. Can you see what's going on, those words in the black print? I'm going to read some of those to you this morning, and I'm going to define this because I want you to get that. Maybe at home you can see it. You start to be sullen. You're a poor communicator. You get stubborn. You have resentment. You have deliberate failures. You procrastinate. You have hostile jokes, and the list goes on. And I have a few more to share with you this morning. One of the most common ways that Christians begin to leak out in their everyday lives is they become passive-aggressive. In case you didn't know what that is, let me share it with you. Some of us are masters at being passive-aggressive. Here's a little definition or example. you allow someone to do something for you. And so you let them go about their job, and they do it, and they take care of it, and then when it's all done, it's all wrong. You ever had that? They go back behind you, and they change everything and do it the way that they wanted it to be. But they don't say nothing, but on the backside, they may say, well, that's not how I wanted it done. How many of you ever heard that before? Passive-aggressive. And let me share this with you. There are some of us that are so passive-aggressive that I think if I dumped you off in the woods, you could shred a bear apart. Being passive-aggressive. And they might be the most kind, loving, respectable Christian in the church. But it comes out in those ways. See, they don't intend to do that, but they start to leak. That's not what their heart wants to do, but they start to leak. There'll be sarcastic remarks, a nasty tone of voice, or giving the silent treatment. Have any of you ever experienced the silent treatment in your marriage or within a spouse or a child relationship or wherever it might be? Have you ever had that before go on? And then you got to try to figure out what is going on, right? You don't dare ask because you could get annihilated. So you guys are all laughing because you get it. You see, we begin to leak in those unhealthy ways that God never intended us to be that way. You do things that you wouldn't normally do. And get this, the closest people seem to see it sooner. Those you love the most. Those are the ones you'll hurt the most. Right? For me, before I took my sabbatical last May of 20, mine, and I'm going to share this because it's good for me to share, and I recognize this after I work through this. Mine came out as anger. My tank was empty. I wasn't processing everything that had been through the last couple of years in this congregation, the death that occurred, and I wasn't dealing with it in the right ways. And not that I was doing bad things, but I wasn't processing it, and it was piling up, and it started to leak out all over, and I'd get home, and Dory or the boys would say something, and boom, off I'd go. I'd get angry. And then I'd wonder, why? I have no reason to be angry. Where's that coming from? Why do I act that way? It's because I wasn't handling that grief in the right way. I was letting it leak out in other ways. And Dory made a comment to me that got my attention. She said this to me. Honey, she likes to call me honey. I'm so thankful for that. But this is what she said, and this is when it hit home. She says, you are doing things and you are saying things that I have never heard you say in the 23 years that I've known you. And then I start to think, why? Why would I do that now? Why? I would say things that were selfish. I would say things that were not from a servant's heart. You see, I was starting to leak out. You remember my message on rhythm back in August when I came back? See, my rhythm was all out of whack. I was leaking out all over the place before I decided to take some time off and process. I was empty inside. And as a pastor or even a believer, and I'm talking to you too this morning, it's not a good place to be. It's not where you want to be. And we have no way to give because we're so empty inside. We become useless. In the kingdom of God, we become useless. How many of you enjoy being around people that are angry? Or people that are giving you the silent treatment or passive aggressive, or you see, you don't want to be around those people, do you? They're not enjoyable to be around. And so we have some work to do, don't we? I needed time to process ministry, the things that were going on. Now, I'm fortunate enough that I was granted a sabbatical. I could take time off and deal with those deep, hard things that I experienced and that I went through. But you don't always get to have a sabbatical. But guess what? There are ways that you can deal with this in great ways through God. You're going to learn more about that next week. But that was the best thing that I ever did. And that's why I want to share with you this morning the things that affected me in my life, but also the way that we're living our lives and how God calls us to live. And these types of defenses, which are common to most of us, make us spiritually unhealthy in our lives. They affect your relationships with others, and they affect your relationship with God. And that's what's most important. But there's a better way. Job models it to us well, how to grieve like the family of Jesus. John the Baptist models it well when it comes to limits that we have placed on us, and there's times of loss. He models it well. And so when the losses of life come, we learn from Scripture how to better handle them. And that's exactly what I'm going to share with you next week. You've learned how to identify all the problems you have, and I hate leaving you hanging with, gosh, we're terrible people. No, you're not. You're God's people, and you're dearly loved. Next week, you get to hear about how to deal with these things in a godly way. And I'm excited for that, to let you know that. So you got to hold on. But here's the challenge it's going to be for you. It's going to be new to some of you, and some of you, it's going to be radical change. And I'd even bet that some of you won't even go there because it's too radical. But that's where God wants to take you. So come back next week and hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. And all God's people said, amen.